so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Let's go to I'm preaching on this morning, detox. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make some folks mad. So y'all just shout grace to me. Why are you going to make folks mad? Because I'm fixing to blow up some people's game. I'm fixing to blow up some relationships that need to be blowed up. Can you say amen? So I want to talk about exposing toxic relationships. Wait a minute, Pastor, this is love time. That's right. And the problem is around love time and on February 14th, people start getting stupid because they want love so much that they start forgetting about the values and forgetting about what they're really looking for and start settling. Well, Pastor, that ain't me. I'm married, okay? I'm still going to help you. Amen. See, now remember, we're detoxing our souls, not our bodies, not our spirits, but our eternal souls. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And who would admit that sometimes your mind needs a good detox? Amen. Our minds need a good detox. And if yours doesn't, your neighbor's does. Amen. If you don't need a good detox in your mind, I promise you your neighbor does, because your neighbor has some issues. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's talking about you right now. You got some issues. Now, our text this morning is, of course, Psalms 51:10. This is our main theme. Our talk is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. One translation says, create in me a detoxed heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, I want you to just stop for a moment. She also gave to her husband with her. Her husband's standing right there. See, that's what happens when men are silent. When men are silent, you need to speak up. Little punk Adam. Adam should have said, woman, God hath said. But what did he do? I don't want to cause no trouble. I'll just eat whatever she fixes me. Verse 7 said, then the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. See, toxic relationships are so devastating to your purpose and to your destiny. Let me just throw you something at you real quickly. No relationship, no matter how you look at it, and you know, my wife and I just celebrated 32 years of marriage on Thursday, and thank you. Many of you put posts on Facebook and congratulating us and all of that, and the, you know, and a couple of people said, oh, you just have the greatest marriage. No, you don't know. We work on it all the time, and we fail a lot of times. But we continue to work on it. Amen? And we do have a good marriage. And out of 32 years, we've been happy about 28, maybe 29. And because 3 years collectively hadn't been so happy. Come on, somebody. So I want you to understand. But what I do want you to know is that none of the relationships that you look at or see are always peaches and cream. Sometimes they're the exact opposite. Sometimes they're thunder and lightning. And any normal relationship deals with disagreements. They deal with fusses. They deal with forgiveness. So I don't want to give you a false sense of what your relationship should look like. Every relationship has fusses and disagreements. My wife and I would never have an argument if she didn't have her own opinion. If she always agreed with me, we would never have any trouble. But you know what? That's what also makes me love her, is the fact that she's independent. What I love about her is that she does have her own opinion. What I love about her, she tells me when I'm wrong. Well, I don't really love that about her, but she tells me when I'm wrong. But every relationship also has fusses and disagreements, but they also have forgiveness. And the fact is, the word relationship, for its earliest Latin meaning, literally means restoring or bringing back. So when you have a relationship, you are restoring or bringing back the original purpose for what God created you and your spouse to have. So part of the function of and the relation is to understand that it's something at times that will need to be restored. Your relationship will need to be restored and brought back to its original purpose from time to time. You're not God. Your spouse is not God, no matter what they told you. They are not God. And so therefore, they will continually have to bring it back and restore it. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, through an apology for wrong behavior, accompanied by a change in behavior. But there are times when we get in relationships and go beyond just here and there life issues of fusses and fights, and they become toxic. Toxic relationships are as old as time itself and even older, because Satan has a toxic relationship with God in heaven. Because in heaven, Satan came to the Garden of Eden and began a toxic relationship with Eve. See, God... But when he did it with God, God severed that toxic relationship and put Satan out of heaven. Oh, that ought to give you a clue what you want to do to some folk. But don't forget that toxic people are toxic wherever they go until they truly repent and allow God to change them. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to pray and ask God to help you discern whether you're a toxic person or you have toxic people in your life. I didn't put it on the U version until this morning, and as I was typing a couple of things on U version, I realized there are some people in my life that don't like me, and I realize why. I'm going to get to that a little later. But the reason I can't get along with them is because they're toxic. All right? Listen, my God. Let me just say this to you. If he messed around, oh God, Lord Jesus. If he messed around on her, he'll likely mess around on you. Let me say this. If you're ever the other woman, you'll never be the only woman. If she verbally abused him, she'll probably verbally abuse you. If he dominated her, he'll probably try and dominate you. See, unless there is a true repentance and a commitment to change, toxic people are toxic. It takes the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God, the blood of Jesus, to change toxic people. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but there are some of us in this room who remember what we were, that we were toxic until we came to know Jesus, and he began to change our stinking thinking, change our behavior, and we became who we are today. But if we're not careful, if we don't stay to God, we tend to drift back into that toxic behavior. That's why we got to stay close to God. Can you say amen? The question is, how do I know whether or not I'm a toxic relation or in a toxic relationship with a friend, a mate, a family member, or even as a coworker? Well, I believe that God's given some clues for us to some clues for us to look at. So let's get ready to detox. I'm going to give you three things today, and prayerfully next Sunday I'll give you the other three. Number one is this: toxic people are control freaks. Now listen, I'm going to tell you right now, when I wrote this, it sent shivers all down me. Why? Because I like being in control. I like being in control. If somebody's got to be in, if nobody's in control, I'll step up and take control. Now, that's leadership. Yeah, it is. But you got to be careful that you don't become a control freak. Now, what do you mean by that? Because the agenda of a toxic person is control. They want to control you. My God, somebody hear me. It's going to get tight before it gets loose, but we're going to be all right. Toxic people, and here's when I realized in a certain relationship, toxic people can allow no one in their lives that they cannot control. That's when I realized this person, that's why we can't get along, because he wants to control me and I will not let anybody control me. Now, we can be real spiritual. I ain't gonna let nobody control me but the Lord. No, God has placed people over you in the Lord. And but why are they trying to control you? For your sake or for their sake? That's the becomes the key. You see, if it's in their world, a control freak, a toxic person, if it's in their world, they must control it. Good preaching, Pastor. Now, that's the reality of Satan, the first and the originator of toxic relationships. He wanted control in heaven when he rose up against Almighty God, and he wanted control of the earth when he deceived Eve. That's what the devil wants in your life. He is not concerned about possessing you. He's more concerned about controlling you. Because if he can control you by situations, circumstances, and the way you feel, he don't always have to be present with you in order to control you. But Jesus come that I may have life, and to break the control of the devil off of my life, to break the control of Satan off of my life, so that I can be the man of God, the father of God, the husband of God, the brother of God, the friend of God that God has called me to be. He was a control freak, and if you are a control freak, then you need to check yourself. And because of what I've already stated about myself, I had to check myself. See, now the Bible says in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more cunning, crafty, shrewd, manipulative than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. Now there's an incredible lesson to be learned here. That toxic control freaks, they achieve control through manipulation. My God, somebody hear me. They achieve control through manipulation. Now, manipulation is a terrible thing. But we need to understand what manipulation is. Manipulation, by definition, is exerting shrewd or devious influence, especially for one's own advantage. Now, here's the deal. What's the difference, Pastor, between leadership and manipulation? Because some of them are the same. Leadership is getting you to do some things you didn't know you wanted to do. All right, but here's the difference. Leadership is getting you to do something for your good. Manipulation is getting you to do something for the person manipulating's good. Good preaching, Pastor. Never forget that is all the toxic manipulators are after, is their good. They're not your good, their good. That's what they want. You see, you understand that here's a couple of ways manipulating control freaks try to manipulate you and try to control you, because you may be a little bit surprised by the first one. Are you ready? Here it is. One of the most toxic weapons in the manipulator's arsenal is flattery. Flattery. They just want to flatter you. Well, but Pastor, I like being flattered. And all of us do. However, flattery makes us feel good. It's what we love to hear. It's what all of us want to hear. But understand me that there's a difference between flattery and a compliment. Oh, hear me now. There's a difference in flattery and a compliment. I remember a family, I won't call their name. They don't go here anymore, thank God. But that's right, there's three families that don't go here anymore, and I'm thankful God that they don't go here. But this is one of them. But they started out with so much flattery to me. One day I saw them in the hall, and I was walking with my wife, and the woman said this. She said, "Oh, there he is." I'm looking around, who's she talking about? And she walks up to my wife and she says, "How do you stand it?" My wife says, "Excuse me?" She goes, "How can you stand to live with such an anointed man of God? I just don't know if I could handle it." And just let you know, immediately I went, "All right, you weirdo. I'm throwing up my wall because you weirdo, I'm not that." You know, I knew it was flattery. But what's the difference? A compliment lifts up. Flattery puffs you up. A compliment lifts you up, but flattery puffs you up. You better not believe all the flattery things people say about you. Flattery is spoken by a person who doesn't believe what they're saying according to the Bible. Psalms 12, write it down. Psalms 12, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, "They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things." When someone compliments you, it's for you. When they flatter you, it's for them. When they compliment you, it's for you. But when they flatter you, it's for them. Toxic people, that's what they do. Because all they want to do is get control. Now, here's the truth about toxic controlling flatterers. The same folks who throwing flattery at you one day will be throwing bricks at you the next day. Ah. The people who are smothering who are lathering you up with butter will take that same knife and stab you with it in the next day. That's the difference, church. You need discernment from heaven. Well, Pastor, I don't have that. You can ask for that. It is a spiritual gift. You can have discernment. God wants you to have it. If you haven't read the Bible much, start with Psalms, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then go on there and pray. And ask God to help you with understanding this. God gives you discernment. And then, church, when you feel a check, trust it. When you're not sure, well, something ain't just quite right. Trust it. Doesn't mean they're sinful. It just means their motive might be bad. Just trust it. Just kind of hold back. Don't share everything. Good preaching. They'll change facts about the situation. They'll use your words against you. Be alert. The next way control freaks manipulate is through the words that belittle. Wow, that's such opposite, isn't it? If they can't flatter you, they will belittle you. If they can't flatter you into their control, they will belittle you into their control. You really can't, you know, they'll say things like, "You really can't do that. You're not going to really try that, are you? Remember what happened the last time. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. You're not educated enough. You fill in the blanks. They will fill it in for you. You're not whatever enough. You can't do that." And one of their greatest sayings is, "You're not enough." When God knows what you need, and when he called you, when he put purpose in you, he knows what you need. Let me just say something here. You never make yourself bigger by making others smaller. See, I don't play like that. I can't roll. When you're trying to make other people feel small, then what that really tells me is that either one, you're very insecure with your own self, or number two, you are trying to manipulate somebody so that you can feel big. Listen, here's what I come to understand, that I'm all right with God, that I feel good in my own skin, somebody hear me. I'm not T.D. Jakes, but T.D. Jakes ain't Ronnie G. Reed. Come on, somebody. Here's what I know. I might not be a big shot, but I'm who God called me to be, and I would rather be who I am than somebody that I'm not. Good preaching. When a toxic control freak tears you down, you need to understand something. Everything a toxic person does is to keep others small and manageable. Because if you don't think more highly of yourself, then they can just manipulate you. They can manage you. We ain't recording this, are we? No. Good. Because I'll tell you, there's some folks in the church of God, I've had people tell me, Pastor, they don't know what to do with you because you don't want nothing. See, when you don't want nothing, can't nobody hold nothing over you. Oh, my God. I don't need their approval. I don't need their position. I don't need their advancement. I don't need nothing from them. Matter of fact, they need me. Come on, somebody. Well, that's arrogant. No. I've just come to realize they ain't got nothing that I want. Jesus has everything that I want. Jesus has everything that I have. And as long as I stay good with Jesus, as long as I stay strong with Jesus, they might say whatever they want to about Ronnie Reed, but here's what I know. I'm not going to listen to what they say. I'm going to listen to what the Word of God says. Can you say amen? See, because toxic people will use criticism, judgment, and oppression to keep you in your place. I was dealing with one person one time, and they thought that they could get loud with me. And I would just back down. And I said to them, well, I can get loud too. Well, I like this Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to wreck some people right here. If you're married and your spouse is beside you, just reach over and take them by the hand right now. Just go on, do it. Go on, do it. Take it. Because they want to keep you contained in the tiny box they believe you belong in. And I want to tell you something, ma'am. Here's why I want you to grab your spouse's hand. I want to tell you this. Don't surrender that kind of power to any man. And man, don't surrender that kind of power to any woman or anyone else. You may wonder how to handle this kind of person. I'm going to give you some keys. Are you ready? How do you handle this person who's always trying to manipulate and control me? Number one, never give anyone the power to determine what you're worth. That's why you need the Word of God. See, I don't get my worth by the church of God. I don't get my worth by people. I get my worth by knowing what the Word of God says about me. And the Word of God says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The Word of God says I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath. The Word of God says I'm anointed, that God died on, or Jesus died on the cross so that I might be saved. So that tells me that I am worth something. I'm not worthless like some people tried to tell me. I'm not just a has-been. Come on, somebody. You need to recognize. Don't let anybody determine your worth. You are worth something because Jesus died for your sin. Now realize this. Are you ready? Love and respect are cyclical. And that means when you give it, you should get it. Good preaching, Pastor. But the cold truth is sometimes you don't. Oh. But this next slide is going to give you some glory right here. Come on, give it to me. Refuse to allow a toxic person the ability to make you feel small, unconfident, and wounded. Because let me tell you what victory really is. Are you ready? Victory, really, church, comes when you stop expecting people, or stop expecting from people, what they have no intention of giving. You'll quit trying to please everybody once you realize that they can't give you. When you stop expecting from people what they have no intention of giving, or what they don't have the power of giving. Let me tell you what happened to me. My wife, about, 15 or 20 years ago, I don't even know, it's been a long time. But she said this to me. She came up to me one day. She said, "Baby, I'm sorry." And you know, if you're a man and your wife says, "I'm sorry," you just take it. I don't even know what it was about. Well, okay. Thank you, baby. All right, whatever. I don't even know. No, but I was dumb. I said, "For what, baby?" She said, "I'm sorry that you just can't fulfill me." And I went, "Oh, honey, I do my best. I really try." No. She said, no, baby, no. She goes, "I've been looking for you to do what only God can do. And if you're not careful, you're in a relationship and you think your spouse is going to do for you what God will do for you, and there's only God can do. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have, how good or how bad it is. If you don't feel fulfilled, it ain't your spouse's right to fulfill you. It is God's right to fulfill you. So you look to Him who is the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of your faith. He created you, and He'll be with you when you walk out of this place. Come on, somebody." All right, so thirdly, here's the third thing to do. Be strong, trust God, and own your own life and happiness. My God. Woo! Just aside.
"Well, if I just had a new house, I'd be happy."
No, you wouldn't. You'd be temporarily happy.
"Well, if I just had a new spouse."
No, you wouldn't. You done had seven. No, you wouldn't. You would be happy once you realize that Jesus is all I need.
"Well, that's what all you married people say, is Jesus will be my husband."
I didn't say that. But you got to get all right with yourself. You got to get all right. See, the problem is we got folks who ain't right looking for Mr. Right and Miss Right. But until you get right, you ain't ever going to find Mr. and Miss Right. Because until you right with God, you ain't going to realize that other people can't make you happy. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Toxic people create unhealthy attachments to others because others are seeking the controller's affirmation. 1 Samuel 30 and 6. Huh. David said, "By God, I had to encourage myself." My God, somebody needs to hear me. You got to encourage yourself. When you can't get it from everybody else, go to your prayer closet, get along with God, and let God talk to you. Let God encourage you. Let God anoint you. Let God hug you. Let God love upon you, because He'll do it. Encourage yourself. Declare that God is on my side. Pat yourself on the back every once in a while and say, "I'm doing all right. I'm all right. I might not be all that I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. God is for me, and if God be for me, then who can be against me?" You said, "Pastor, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what I'm dealing with." Listen, Pastor, they didn't used to be that way. Well, they did not change. Their mask just finally fell off and revealed who they really are. Listen to me. My God. Y'all ain't gonna listen, but I'm gonna say it anyway. How do you know, preacher? Because y'all keep doing it. I've been here 24 years. Some of y'all still do it. Why are you going to hook up with somebody? Why in God's name are you going to date somebody who ain't saved? And you talk about, "Well, they'll get saved." Bull. "But Pastor, they ain't right, but I know I can change them." Wrong. No. See, here's what I tell people in premarital counseling. Can you live with this person for the rest of their life and your life if they don't change one moment? Now listen, women. Most men thinking, "Oh, I hope my wife don't ever change." Let me tell you something, dude. They will. Just as soon as I figure out my wife's favorite color, she changes it. Just as soon as I figure out her favorite restaurant, it changes. Me, man, I'm still the same. See, because women marry men thinking, "I'll change him."
And men marry women thinking, oh, I don't ever want them to change. Well, both of y'all are wrong. All right, number two. Oh, good Lord. I spent 30 minutes on one. Number two, toxic people don't allow you to be yourself. Toxic people don't allow you to be yourself. One sure sign that you're in a toxic relationship is when you're not allowed to be yourself when they're around. You know, well, we're gonna have a girls' night out so I can be me. You so stupid. I want my wife to be who she is around me. And I'm going to be who I am. Listen, I remember the first time this was several years ago. How many years ago was that, Roger? They had a Church of God pastor's cruise. About 10, 15 years ago. And so my wife said, oh, baby, let's go. I go, you want me to go around a bunch of preachers on a cruise? She goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to be me. She goes, well, I have no trouble with that. I go, you say that now. But I'm going to be me. So on this cruise, we had two meetings with the other preachers. So we getting dressed for the meeting. I put on my T-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. And Sherry said, baby, you going to a preacher meeting like that? I said, we on a cruise. I told you, I'm going to be me. So I walked up now, I walked up in there, and everybody was looking at me, and they go, well, boy, you comfortable. I said, we on a cruise. This ain't no formal dinner. I got clothes for the formal dinner, but this is a cruise. Because as soon as I get done with this meeting, I'm going and jumping my big old fat self in that pool. See, when you my size, and we didn't do this, but when you my size, it ain't called skinny dipping no more. It's called chunky dunking. So I said, I'm going to jump my big old fat self in that pool. And y'all can view me with all the glory. I don't even give a rip. Right? And you know what? That second meeting we had, everybody was in flip-flops and T-shirt. That's right. Trendsetter. All right. Listen to me, single people. Never date, never get in a serious relationship or marry someone you have to be fake in front of. You know you're in a toxic relationship when you can't be true to who you are and who you have become. You can't speak your mind. You're insecure. You're not even recognize yourself around them. Now, listen to me. We all put our best self first and in front when we're dating. So make sure you don't get married until you see their real self. Well, that's why we're going to shack up. That ain't biblical. Can I tell you what's the statistics? People who shack up, what's their divorce rate? About 80% of people who shack up before marriage get divorced. I don't know why, just something changes. All right? Listen, I have a word for some of you. It's better to be rejected for who you are than accepted for who you are not. There's too much drama and effort in that mess. Toxic people require you to be who they want you to be, not who you really are. You begin to realize that you don't even recognize yourself anymore. Remember the text, the Bible says Satan moved in with flattery. And then he launched a very carefully crafted, calculated attack. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. They were already like God. God said, let us make man in our image. One side note. Adam said, or the devil said, you will become like God. See, Adam and Eve were already like God. They were made in his image and totally without sin. But the enemy assaulted their identity. What's going on right now? The devil's assaulting our identity. A relationship that does not allow you to be who God created you and made you is totally toxic. I'm not talking about you doing bad things and somebody trying to help you change your behavior. I'm not talking about that. Well, this is just who I am. No, no. I was who I was until I realized who God made me. I had a false sense of who I was. I had a false sense of what I was supposed to be. All right? Listen, church. If you're in a constant state of anxiety because you're afraid to be yourself around that person, you're in a toxic relationship. If you feel like you have to be constantly on. Man, I know a married couple that the woman got up 2 hours before her husband for the first 6 months of their marriage because she didn't want him to see her without makeup. I'm thinking she must have been ugly. My Lord. I mean, a little paint on the barn helps, but it don't completely change everything. If you have to say or do things that are not you, then you're in a toxic relationship. We all want to be the greatest version of ourselves that we can be through Christ Jesus, right? All right, so you just got to get rid. Listen, when you're around me, you're going to get the real me. Good, bad, ugly, in church, out of church. It doesn't matter. You're going to get me. And some people can't take me, and I'm cool with that. I recognize that not everybody's going to be my friend. I recognize, can't everybody, you know, some people think that there's one lady that goes to church and she says, Pastor, I just picture you waking up in a suit and going to bed in a suit. Well, picture all you want to, because that ain't it. I wake up with bad breath. I wake up with a mohawk around my head. Come on, somebody. There's a couple of ways to deal with toxic people who want to change you. Number one is this. First, love the skin you're in. Love the skin you're in. Become cool with who God made you and find security in that. Love the skin you're in. Psalms 139 says, oh yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelous made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know the inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life, you spread out before you. The days of my life are all prepared before I ever lived by first day. He knows you. Realize and be thankful for your uniqueness. You were born an original, but so many people die a copy. Did you hear that? You were born an original. But too many people die a copy trying to be somebody they're not. But see, I can be a fake, cheap copy of somebody else, or I can be just Ronnie Reed. Realize if you don't celebrate yourself, no one else will. Let me give you my last one. Number three, toxic people are threatened by your growth and change. See, everybody that comes into your life usually wants you to stay where you are when they came into your life. But God wants you to grow. Everything that God touches grows. I'm going to say it again. Everything that God touches grows. Well, he's touched me. Good Lord. He's touched me too much. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He touches me a little too much. Everything grows. He's touching me here, but ain't touching me here. Come on, somebody. I didn't even touch my hair. Come on. Glory. But toxic people are threatened by your growth. Toxic people are threatened by your change. We should all, listen to me, we should all seek to grow and change. Not just for people, but for ourselves. Now listen to me. I'm so glad that my wife has grown and changed over the 32 years of our marriage. I pray that I have grown and changed. Have you ever been, listen, I remember our church. There's some people who couldn't handle the growth of our church, and they're not bad people. They just couldn't change with us. They couldn't change when they couldn't just stop by and see me. They couldn't change because I couldn't go out to eat with them every day. So I understand that. I love them. But I've got to grow in who God called me to be. And I want to change into the person God's called me to be. Right? We should all seek and grow to change. To become better. To become kinder. To become smarter. Other positive things that you can bring up in your mind onto the surface. The toxic person cannot allow the ones that they are in relationship to grow. Because if they grow, then they usually grow from the need of that person. See, there are people who used to be my mentors, and now they're my peers. There's a couple who used to mentor me, and I feel like I don't need them anymore. You know, I'm not being ugly. I'm just outgrown them. And I have been a mentor to some people that they're really not. I don't mentor them anymore. They're just their peers. They're my friend. And there are some people who have outgrown me. And it's tough when that happens. It's tough. But I would never stop them from growing, because I want everything around me to grow. I want everybody around me to grow and to mature and to be. Toxic people are jealous and insecure, and your growth and transformation threatens them. You know your relationship is toxic when there is no encouragement, when there is no support from the person as you try to improve yourself. Be careful if you wind up in a relationship with someone who don't allow you to grow, because when that happens, you're stuck. We've had staff members who went as far as they could with us. We've had church members who went as far as they could with us. We've had elders who went as far as they could with us. But listen, I'm not going to stop growing just because some people can't keep up. Come on now. It's a terrible thing to feel stuck. I know people who have been stuck in toxic relationships, and they get stuck in behavior patterns. They get stuck professionally. They get stuck spiritually. They get stuck abusively. They get stuck in poverty. They get stuck in wrong thinking. And let me say this to you in love. You know what that means, right? Yeah, here it comes. When a Christian says, I'm going to say this in love, go, don't say it, because it's going to be something hurtful. Your closest relationships are a snapshot of your future. Remember our text, 1 Corinthians 15:33? Evil company corrupts good character. Who is in your circle? Man, I want people who challenge me. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. If you're the smartest person in the room, change rooms. You need somebody who can speak into your life. Listen to me. I've preached this for 20-something years now. There are four types of people in your life right now. People who add to you, people who subtract from you, people who multiply you, and people who divide you. Well, Pastor, I'm going to cut everybody off who subtracts and divides. No. Because you're the one adding to them. You're the one multiplying them. Here is the key to have more people in your life who are adding and multiplying than there are those who are subtracting and dividing. Because they need you in their life. And God's called us to be a light to somebody. You have influence over somebody, no matter what kind of person you are. I got to quit. I got to give you this, though. I'm sorry. Genesis 37:8 says they hated him for his dream and his words. We're talking about Joseph. Joseph was hated for his dream. Now I want to zero in on that. They hated him. Hated him out in the open. There are some relationships where people hate you on the low. They hate you on the down low. You don't know it, but they hate you. But Joseph's own brothers hated him openly. They hated him even more when he talked about his dream. So they hated him even more when he talked about his dream. There are some people who can be in a relationship with you until you start dreaming. When you start dreaming, they get nervous and they hate you. My God, somebody hear me. So what that tells me is you can't share your dream with everybody. But if you can't share your dream with somebody that you're in a relationship with, then man, that's sad.
That's sad. You know you're in a toxic relationship when you can't share your dreams. Here's what you got to do then in order to overcome those who won't let you grow. Are you ready? I don't know if I have all these. What do I have? No, I don't have them. Grow even without toxic people's permission. Grow even when you don't have toxic people's permission. Even if they say no, God has called you to grow, so grow. Take that risk. Believe in that dream. Don't be limited. Don't be limited by your present company. Now, that doesn't mean if you're married to shut them off. That's not what I'm preaching. And let me say this. Don't be limited by your present company doesn't mean to go find somebody of the opposite sex. No, that's not biblical. But I remember when our church ran about 150, and I've shared this before, but our church ran about 150, and all of my friends had churches smaller than me. And the Lord told me to get outside my comfort zone. Because, see, I realize my own insecurities. I know sometimes you guys can't, you know, I've had many of you tell me, I just can't ever believe you're insecure. But I battle with it. Every person on the planet battles with it. See, I do real good in these circles. I don't do good in preacher circles. Because I'm not normal. And I recognize that. I'm not normal. But the Lord called me when we was running about 150. I didn't know how to grow a church. I didn't know how to grow myself. And when the Lord began to call me to, now listen closely to me. I'm being very transparent. When the Lord began to call me to get out of my comfort zone and meet people with larger churches so that they could help me, I didn't really want to because I liked being the big dog. I like for all of my friends coming to me for advice. And I said, oh, God, I don't want to. Lord, I... And then when he really began to show me who me, I had to go, okay, God, yeah. And that's when I went out and began to meet Tom Sturbins. I met Randy Watson, who became my spiritual father. I began to put myself out there. See, what did I do? I quit being the smartest guy in the room, or thinking I was the smartest guy in the room, and got a snapshot of my present company and said, I don't want to leave my friends because they need me because I'm beyond where they are. But I need people who are beyond where I am. And I reached out to successful people. I reached out. And listen to me. Oh, good Lord. If you reach out to successful people, always make sure that you, what's the word? That you're mindful of their time. Because somebody who don't respect your time also don't respect your advice. Somebody who don't respect your time is somebody who don't respect your advice. Don't be limited by your present company. Seek out relationships with people who are further along than you are. Don't hang on to dysfunctional relationships. It will cost you the right one. Then here's one. Believe that God has good things in store for your life. Believe that God has victory in mind for you. Come on, stand to your feet and lift up your hands. And just give him a little bit of praise for victory in your life.
Hallelujah.
Little victory in your life. Hallelujah. Some of you need a dance right now because God delivered you from a toxic relationship. My Lord. Some of you need to glorify God. You lamented that they left. You lamented that they're in your life anymore. You need to thank God they're not in your life. They were sucking the life out of you. But I'm lonely. God's going to bring somebody else by. But you just look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith, and let's see what God does. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Toxic people are control freaks. They don't allow you to be yourself, and toxic people are threatened by your growth and your change. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I don't want to be the same person I am tomorrow that I am today.
Lord, I don't want to look back a year from now and I haven't grown any, I haven't changed any, but I'm still at the same place. Because God, I know anything that you touch grows, it multiplies. And in the name of Jesus, multiply me as a father. Multiply me as a husband. Multiply me as a pastor, as a leader. Multiply me as a friend. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first place to start, baby. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, slip up your hand, wave it at me, and you can put it right back down. I'm going to assume everybody's a born-again believer. Oh, I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. I want to pray for everybody. Repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, come and make me whole. Forgive me of my sin. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life and over my sin. In the name of Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that I am who you called me to be. And I believe that I can be better with you in my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I got to quit. But throw both of your hands up real quick. And go, Lord, in the name of Jesus, show me every relationship in my life. Give me the courage to walk away from those I need to and reach out to those I need to and to sit back and let you bring the ones that I need to. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.